Okay, we're bringing Daf Chavav. We're just talking about, we just mentioned in the Mishnah, Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that if you had trees growing between the gardens, Beis Shammai said you have to take peyah mikol echad v'echad, you have to take peyah from each block of the Torah, and Beis Hillel said you only had to take one. Manan Kayamin, the Gemara says, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? Im b'meruvachim, if we're talking about, don't worry about it. In b'meruvachim, if we're talking about that the trees are very far apart, then even Beis Shammai would agree to take only one peya because the trees don't constitute a break. In b'meruvachim, and if the trees are very close together, obviously Beis Hillel would also agree that that would be like a wall, and it would all have to. You'd have to give from each block independently. Eloki non kayomen. What are we talking about? Sorry about that. What are we talking about? Benetur mata eser lebeisah. We're talking about where the trees are planted 10 to the base saw, which we explained on a previous occasion. If you divide that up among the trees, each tree, each trunk of each tree spread out evenly would be about 18 amas apart. Okay? So, Beis Shammai, Avdin Loi Kumaritufin. So, Beis Shammai makes it like they're together. They consider that spacing, Beis Shammai holds, is like a wall. And therefore, you have to give each pair, each block independently. Beis Hillel, Avdin Loi Kumaritufin. And Beis Hillel holds it like this, that's not close enough. Okay, so there's no lumdus in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi just says, he holds it this way, he holds it that way, and I have nothing else to say. I mean, this is pretty boring. If someone has something, you know, it's just restating what it says in the Mishnah. Just the only thing that this Yerushalmi is telling us is that the Machlokas is extremely narrow. So only one very, very limited case where they have this machlokas. Okay, more than that, I don't know what to say. There was... yeah, the only thing was she has a little farm knowledge here in the middle of in footnote 4. I'll just read it. It says, farmers would typically plant 10 trees per base saw because that is the maximum density in which saplings receive full nourishment. Okay, so now we know. My time of the Beis Shammai. So what does Beis Shammai hold? What's the reason? She'ein derech bnei adam liyos matnisim zeraim bein ha'ilonos. It's not the way that people usually do is to introduce planting foods between trees. Now, in the footnote it says, and he quotes Rosh Cirillo, the grain is generally not planted among the trees because the trees are going to block the sunlight. It's very logical. So obviously, no one's going to want to plant something where there's no sunlight, and your sunlight's critical for its growth. So since it's uncommon to plant grain among the trees, so now we go to the next step. So then, therefore, the trees cannot be considered an integral part of the grain field. To the contrary, the trees are a different species. So that's what we're saying here. That, in other words, if it's the derech to plant a certain way, so then you can consider that it's like we're all playing together nicely in the sandbox. That's the one way to look at it. So even though we may look and act differently, but we're all one family together. How nice. But if this isn't normal, so you don't normally plant vegetables and grains among the trees, so therefore it's considered like the trees are like menacher, and therefore they would divide the plants. Okay, that's what Beis Hillel holds. That's what Beis Shammai holds. Asher Beis Shammai Kereb Yaisi. Now the Gemara is going to say that it seems like Rabbi Yossi, who is quoted, this is a sheet later on in the Masechta on Chav Tes. So if you take a quick jump to Chav Tes, we have time. We can jump. Let's go to Chav Tes. And you'll see 29A1. You'll see it says over there that if you have mil benos habatzolim shebein hayarot, if you have plots of onions between other rows of vegetables, if you see oimer, peya mikolacha v'yechad, you get peya from each and every plot. You give one on the rest. Okay, so what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? So in footnote 10 over there, if you're following in the English, it says Rabbi Yossi maintains it's unusual to plant onions among other vegetables. Since the vegetables cannot be considered an integral part of a larger field of onions. On the contrary, they constitute a different species and form a division between the onion plots. Thus, peya must be left separately from each plot. So there you have it again. Exactly the same. It's mamish exactly like we just said. The svar that we just said in Beis Shammai is being replicated right here in this Mishnah on Chav Tes. Okay? So that's really what the Gemara is going to now say. The Gemara is going to wonder about this because why would Rabbi Yossi go ahead and give a svar, which is the like Yehochasa? And that's what the Gemara is going to basically be saying now. Asi the Beis Shammai k'Rab Yossi. So Beis Shammai is not going to be. I see. Come on, Rabbi Yossi, I'm right. Dark from the autumn, leaders, machnisin, but Saul and Ben Hayar. Just like he says, you don't usually put onions among the vegetables. Cain, ain't dark from the autumn. Cain, Beis Shammai, I'm ain't dark from the autumn, leaders, machnisin, from Ben Hilona. So that's exactly the same svara. Right. So
what's the reason we said before? Because it's not left sunlight from the trees.
We say that usually people don't plant vegetables among trees because of the sunlight. Yeah.
So what about the onions? What's the reason for the onions?
We only need a reason. All we need is a reason, uh-huh. Right? If that's not the derek for it to be done that way, so if you do it that way, it's going to be like minacher. That's the bottom line. For whatever reason is given. So over there, obviously, it's not a sunlight reason. You don't plant onions among other vegetables. Why not? You have to speak louder, I can't.
Actually, the onions grow underneath the ground. So they bump into the roots of the other vegetables that grow above the ground.
So Shamsi's our local farmer here, and he says that in his experience in planting gardens, the roots of the onions, being that they're planted underground, will go and interfere with the other roots of the other vegetables.
Because the onions grow underneath.
So they bump into the roots and they make trouble. Okay, so that's whatever the reason. So anyway, that's the bottom line is there's got to be a reason why it wasn't the derech. I don't know. They're the reason of sunlight obviously doesn't apply. Maybe the reason of Shabbos says the reason. Whatever the reason is, they don't usually plant them together. Therefore, if you do plant them together, it's considered min acher. Right? So it's the same svar. So the Gemara says, in English it says, now why would Rabbi Yossi align himself with Beis Shammai and reject the halachically accepted view of Beis Hill? I mean, that's one way to put that the Gemara is asking a question. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Mistavar de Beis Shammai yodin leRabbi Yossi. Misvar, it's reasonable to assume that Beis Shammai will agree with Rabbi Yossi, but the other way around, Rabbi Yossi lo yodin leBeis Shammai. Rabbi Yossi does not necessarily fall in line with Beis Shammai's shita. Why?" Beis Shammai understands Rabbi Yossi's svar that people don't put onions among the vegetables. And Rabbi Yossi lo yadil Beis Shammai, however, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, shekin derech bnei adam liyos machnisin zraim ben hayilonis. He holds that it is the way of people to introduce seeds among the trees. So this is another deep svara over here. Beis Shammai holds it's not the derech, and Rabbi Yossi holds it is the derech, so therefore they're not totally zebezeh.
You could plant the grain amongst the trees when the trees are young, right? Because they're not going to block it.
So that could be as far as how they could do it this time and not. I hear. Okay. That could very well be. Okay, did you say Dov?
Rosh
Solo says what Shamsi says.
It weakens the roots of the vegetable.
Where does it say that?
Number 8.
No, I'm talking in the Hebrew. So that's how you're touching it up. It upsets the root system. It upsets the rooting system. Very good. Okay. So the Gemara says it's not Tolly's episode. Okay.
The Gemara doesn't ask what's the common
basil. No, it doesn't explain basil at all. Why there's so much stress and focus on Beis Shammai is very interesting, no?
Yeah, because the halakha is like
Beis Shammai. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little funny. I didn't see anybody talking about it. The other night we mentioned that the Medrash Rabbah, remember we bought a raya from the Medrash? The Medrash says, there's a machlokes in the Gemara and Yevamos, whether Noshim or Chayev in Pur Avu. The Medrash Rabbah in Parakes and Bracious Rabbah says that we passing like Rabbi Yerkin Ben Broik, I think his name was, who holds that both Anoshim and Noshim Machayev in Pur Avu, and the Chagoyis of the Radal on the bottom of the Medrash Rabbah says that the reason why it is that way is because why the Medrash says this, even though we know we don't pass him like the Yechim break him, is because the Yerushalmi and Yevamos, where the Sugya of Pur Avu appears, the Yerushalmi passes like the Yechim break him. And the Medrash Rabbah and the Yerushalmi are both coming from the same people, same location. They have it like they're almost, they learned in the same yeshivas. So therefore you'll find sometimes that the Yerushalmi will be aligned with the Medrash Rabbah. Okay, so that I don't know why I said that, but we were talking about why I didn't discuss Basil, so I remember this fact. It has nothing to do with your question. I apologize. Okay. That's because some people were not here that night, so I just felt like saying it over because I thought it was very interesting. Okay, Hayasham Gader, 26a2, second paragraph on the right side. Hayasham Gader, if the single fence was there between the plots of grain, Kamanduhu Elon, it's like a tree. Hayushnaim, if there were two. Now this is like a riddle. These words don't make any sense at all. By themselves, we have to explain what's going on over here. So, nobody's really 100% sure what this means, but we'll just give it a shot here. So, Hayasham Gader. So what that means is that, in other words, we were talking just now about how the tree creates a block between one block between one milbane and another milbane of tefuah. So that's what we were talking about, when there was a whole line of trees, right? But what if there was only one tree there? Certainly one tree would not constitute a block. But let's suppose there was a fence there. Now, when we said earlier in the previous parak that if you have a fence, that constitutes a block between the ilonos to make two separate sides of the orchard, chayev and peah, in each side of the fence, that may have been speaking about where the fence went from one side of the field to the other side of the field, right? But what if the fence did not go completely across the field? Well, let's suppose you had a partial fence. So maybe that might be different. Maybe that's better than just a single tree. Maybe the tree... This is unbelievable. We're only here for 20 minutes. the tree is a single tree, but there's a fence. The fence maybe is a little bit more of a machitza than a tree, right? So the first statement is, if there was a single fence, Hayusham Gader, then maybe Kamanduhu Elon. It's as if there was a tree, Hayushnaim, but if there were two fences, in other words, let's suppose the fence, the way Reb Chaim says this in his Sefer, the Pshat is, that it's a broken fence. There's a fence, then there's a space. Then there's another fence, then there's a space. So maybe you have a fence with breaks in it, that would already be considered more of a mechitza. And the Gemara doesn't say what the din is and just leaves it open. So that, it's a very strange.
So why would that be two fences? It could be multiple fences.
It could be multiple fences. You're right. You're right. Absolutely right.
Is that the same thing as multiple trees then?
It's totally unclear. I really don't know. You know, you can look over here and try to figure it out.
Maybe that's what it is, though. Maybe he's trying to say it's like fence, like the trees.
If you take a look at number 11, he's talking about, he says that two fences are perpendicular. So that it looks like the guy is trying to separate the different.
That's another shot. That's correct. On the bottom over here in C, he says, if the fence, it's a little bit, I think this may be what he was quoting over here. If a fence extends only across a small portion of the field's width, it's no better than a single tree. But if there is a row of two or more such fences, then it's archaic, right? And it doesn't give the answer, of course. Okay. And then he quotes a Groh who says, what if you have one tree which has such thick leaves that it's like a fence? Maybe that's the question. Nobody knows what's going on here. This is just a riddle. And let's just go on and not get worried about it. So we said the Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel if the tops of the so remember, picture this in your mind. You've got your block of Trua here, another block over here. Beis Shammai says this, they have to be given separately. But if there's a row, if they are Mu'urav, so Mu'urav, so where's Mu'urav? I mean, the way I pictured it is you had a whole line of Tfuah growing along, let's say, I look at it like, you know, east and west. So let's assume the left side of the field is the west side, and the right side of the field is the east side, and you have a line of Tfuah growing north-south on the west side, a line of Tfuah growing north-south on the right, on the east side, and that joins the two blocks. So then everybody agrees, since they're connected, right? They're connected. So the question's going to be now, right? Ad kedai mimurav mikanu kan. That's what the Yerushalmi starts off with. This, until this point, it seems that we're talking about where they're connected on both sides, meaning both the west side of the block and on the east side of the block, they're connected on both sides. Now we're turning to Chavav on the base. Hare Muravim Mitzad Echad. But what if they're only, the line of the Tvua is only on the west side and it's not connected on the east side? What would be the din then? Would Beis Shammai agree then? Not answered. Oh, another question. Shloisha Tlamim Shal Pasiach. How wide is that link? There are two ways to think about this one. When I first read this, I thought it meant that in my mind I was picturing that the line of the growth was going from end to end, so it was going from the far end on the north to the far end on the south, and the question was simply a question of width. How wide does that growth have to be? Is it have to be 2 amas wide, which is the shear of the Shlosha Tlamim? Or is it kosher? Is it just any sliver of growth? Is that enough to connect them? On the other hand, I was thinking another way to look at it is maybe it goes a little more complicated. Let's suppose the growth doesn't go along the whole width of the block. It only, let's suppose it's just one little patch that connects the two ends of each block. And so the question is, the question then would be, I could explain the question a little differently then. Is the length of that connection got to reach in a shear of 2 amas? Or even a kosher, even just as long as it touches the edge, is that enough to make it connected? I don't know. I didn't see anybody said that pshat, but it seems to me that that might be a pshat also.
Discuss it all, how wide that connecting link.
Yeah, well, according to the first pshat that I was saying, that would be the question. It would be the width. Yeah. Okay, let's just assume for the time being that it is 2 amas. Now let's go to the final part of the Mishnah, which is talking about Menamer Sadeu. That's he's making his field like a leopard. That's what Yerushalmi says, Kadei Nimra, like this leopard. That, of course, the leopard's fur is spotted. Question, are there leopards in Eretz Yisrael or in...
There may have been then. Not now, but maybe...
Maybe these, then they had leopards?
They had lions, might as well have a leopard.
Right on the coast of Africa, so.
They definitely had a lions and bears.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not unreasonable to assume that they saw a leopard. I was just wondering how the Yerushalmi knew what a leopard looked like. It's possible. That's what I thought. You see that they had a zoo in those days too. It was very good. Yeah, yeah. So they knew about a leopard. Okay, right.
Let's get down there.
Makom ha'zevalim olam
tefilah. Rashi describes what a elephant was in Obakama. It's like trying to put a pumpadisa nardai. They were trying to squeeze an elephant into a needle head.
Yeah.
Rashi explained.
Okay.
That. So he knew what an elephant was.
They knew everything. Makom ha'zevalim olam tefilah. Now we're going to talk about what exactly. There's two ways. Okay, let's just say this out, and we'll be able to read this off in 2 seconds. Just outside, we're just going to say it very simply. Well, the reason when we said the Mishnah, we said this, but I'm going to say it again. There's the spots in the field that have more that are fertilized more than the other spots are going to grow faster. If those spots grow faster, the way it works is the grain is left attached to the field, it matures, and then it dries on the stalk. Okay, they don't pick it when it's green. It turns brown on the stalk. And then after it's dry, then we cut it down and we harvest it. Now, if we have a portion of the field that grows faster than the rest of the field, it's obviously going to dry out faster and it will be ready for harvest in advance. So what's happening is you have these spots, right? So you're going to have, now the spots could be, when I say there's these spots, those spots could be the spots that grew faster, or those spots could be the spots that grew slower, right? So obviously there's going to be two things to keep in mind here. First of all, if the spots that are in the middle of the field are the ones that grew slower. So then when you went and you started harvesting, you start harvesting from the edge of the field, which would be normal. Normally, you would start your harvest at the edge of the field. You wouldn't walk to the center of the field and then start harvesting pieces at a time that would be completely unusual, right? So that would be one difference. So the other difference is going to be what are we considering here as the break, right? In other words, Rabbi Akiva holds that each spot is independent, so you have to give payah from each spot. Why is he saying that? Why do you have to give payah from each spot? So let's assume that each spot in the middle was a spot that grew slower. Let's say that for the time being. So then, when I went ahead and I cut down all the outside spots and made this, you know, circle around each area, around all the spots, I cut down all the first harvest. I cut down all the brown stuff around the green stuff, and now I'm left with spotted green stuff all around the field, right? So now, how do I look at the green stuff? The green stuff is no longer attached. Each one is independent. So Rabbi Akiva felt, okay, it's independent. Each piece is going to be an independent harvest, and therefore you have to give payout to each one. That's what the Yerushalmi is going to start talking about here. So the Gemara says, Makom she'zevalim olam tefilah. If it's a place where the field is fertilized only in part, and the stalks in the fertilized area grow first, namri do kari lo. It's called an amin. It means it's a spot. So ad kedon shohayu yavesh mikana mikan. This we're talking about where the dry produce was on the sides of the fields. Falach be'emsa, and the spotted parts, those are going to be the moist parts. That's in the middle. So let's just read it in English. In this case, the sides of the field which contain the dry produce will be harvested first. Since this is normal procedure to begin harvesting, so the Chacham certainly hold this harvest as the first stage of reaping the entire field, because that's After all, that's the way you normally harvest. You start from the edge of the field. But what if it's the other way? What if what happens, the moist, meaning the stuff that did not grow as fast, was on the side? The dry stuff, the stuff that grew faster, was in the middle. So in that case, the harvest is going to begin with the dry stalks in the middle of the field. Now, what would the Chacham say then? Would they also say then that that's considered the beginning of the harvest? Because after all, there, that doesn't seem to be the starting stage of the harvest of the whole field, because the field's not normally harvested from the middle. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, let's take a look at Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir, if you remember Rabbi Meir from last parak, Rabbi Meir said that if you have a big field, it's growing wheat on both sides, and you go in and you cut the shachas be'emsa, you cut it before, after, let's say, you just hit a third, right? Hit one third. So you cut down the shachas be'emsa for Michael Behema. So Rebbe Meir says it's considered a hefsek, right? Now, isn't that the same thing? There you have, you're cutting down something earlier than another one, and we're saying that it's considered separate. That's what I was going to compare. Rabbah, 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 Kishitas Rabbi Akiva Rabba. Rabbi Meir is coming out like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Kimod Rabbi Akiva Malach, V'yaveshneimin and Hain, just like he said, that if it's dry and wet, then moist, then it's considered what? Two minim. Kain Rabbi Meir Malach, V'yaveshneimin. He said the same thing. Okay, Rabbi Meir rules there, if you harvest a strip of moist produce from the down the middle of the field, the harvested strip divides the field in two. So when the grain on the two sides becomes dry, you have to leave it from each side separately. So he does not consider the first and second harvest as stages of a single process, right? He considers it separately. You cut this left side down, that it's its own payah, and the right side will get its own payah. So that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva. So therefore what? So we're trying to compare that to the shita of the Chachamim, are we not? Let's see here. If we say that he holds like Rabbi Akiva, so how does that answer our question? The bottom line of the Vilna Gaon over here. Alma de Sever of Meir Shum Kotzer Hayavish Shiva Emsa have a hefsek. Lamashin Ishtayer. You see, he holds it's a hefsek for what's left over. Huadin Rabbi Akiva Nami Kane. So Huadin Rabbi Akiva would also hold the same thing. They both said the same thing. I mean, I thought we were asking a question what the Chachamim would hold. That's the way he explained it, no? Why are we focused on Rabbi Akiva? Okay, one second. Let's pause this thing while we think about this. One more time. The question that we asked before was in the Chachamim. The one part I missed was that the question, according to the Chachamim, is left unresolved. And we don't answer that question. We don't know whether Chachamim would be Maida to Rabbi Akiva in the event that you started harvesting the field in an abnormal way and started cutting down the spots first. Maybe in that case, they would agree with Rabbi Akiva that that's not considered a Haskolah of the harvest. So that remains unresolved. The Gemara does not answer that question. But the Gemara then goes ahead and makes a Lishitoso that Rabbi Meir was going in the Shita of Rabbi Akiva Rabbo, because you see they both treat the moist and the dry as two separate minim, and it creates a hefsek. Ad kan dav chavav. Okay.